Welcome to the Lucky Titan Podcast. Here you will learn how to fill your favorite platform with tons of your dream customers from some of the world's top entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Josh Tapp. Now let's get started. What is up, everybody? Josh Tapp here again. Welcome back to the Lucky Titan. And today we're here with Roman Prokopchuk. I'm super excited to have this guy here. I mean, he and I have so many of the same beliefs when it comes to using your podcast as a sales tool and as a marketing tool as well. So I'm excited to have him here. He is the founder of Novazora Digital. This guy has really done some amazing things in his career with helping people to really leverage SEO in their businesses. So Roman, say what's up to everybody and let's hop in.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man. So let me ask you this first question. So first off, I want to ask you, how have you been applying podcasting in your SEO and for kind of your growth strategy overall?
Yeah, I mean, at first I started just kind of getting into the space. It was a solo show, but then it got into an interview-based show with, you know, each opportunity, each guest you have on. I personally have a go live kit that I send assets to, you know, video clips, audiograms, still images, all the links that can be found. And obviously the link to the website, the episode on the website itself. So in turn, if they share it, if they add it to their kind of media page, if they link back to the episode on the podcast website, that's obviously building the domain authority of that site through link acquisition. But also kind of seeing the value out of that. When I first started, I didn't do really that many interviews, but then I saw the stories I had to tell and the different professional and personal things that I've experienced and fairly, you know, kind of an expert in or some experience in. I started going on shows and really adding value or trying to add value to the audience and taking that approach and not heavily pitching, because a lot of the time on my show, people come on and it's like, tell me about your journey, what you've done, hurdles. And it's like, yeah, well, it started when I founded this product or so on and so forth. And it's not really genuine. So kind of taking a genuine approach from an interviewer standpoint, as well as an interviewee standpoint, kind of like exponentially increased, you know, what people thought about me, what I was giving in terms of value to the episodes themselves. And that in turn kind of built connections where people wanted to know more about me because they were interested in my story and then they connected and it resonated that way. So that kind of opened that up. And in 2021, I kind of started an offering as well, where it's like a marketing package around your interview. So obviously, interviews on my show personally are free. Obviously, there's, you know, paid appearances out there in the podcast space, but creating packages, seeing what podcasters were looking for, what I as a guest was looking for in terms of more assets, things like press releases, dedicated blog posts with additional content around that specific person, more about their business, which that's a good segue to add value in terms of a business or product. So that interview isn't heavily basically kind of bombarded with that. And then other solutions as well. So kind of creating packages around that. So kind of bringing marketing into the mix to amplify that those individual episodes. And also doing things outside of that. So when I got into podcasting, it really opened up a door in terms of how I can use that audio medium in terms of helping clients as well.
Yeah. And I love that because you're taking that content. It kind of becomes, like you said, a real value add. It becomes a real piece of content. I think that's kind of become diluted recently. People think that, you know, content is just the fact that you're appearing on somebody else's show or something, but if you're not providing a true educational experience and true value add to them, I mean, it's kind of pointless. So with the way that you've been structuring this as well, especially because you've been taking these interviews, turning them into an SEO experience, first off, how are you doing that? And then why are you leveraging that on the SEO side?
Yeah. So from a show point of view of me as a host, so basically having a dedicated website, having an individual page for each episode that goes live, having obviously the show notes, kind of the timestamps in terms of kind of the segments as well, embedding the transcript, because obviously that adds value as well. Some people just throw on the transcript and call it a day. I mean, if you can't do anything else, cool. But if you can make that page as robust as possible, the whole thing with me is you have to give people a reason to go to a specific place. Just in terms of, let's say, a social media strategy, obviously, if you're pressed for time, you're technically posting kind of the same thing, same messaging across all your channels. But ideally, you want to give people a reason to go to your Facebook fan page versus your Instagram. Why are they going? If they're going to experience the same thing in like 5-6 different places, they have no reason to go to each place. So really creating a unique experience on that episode page. So regardless, whatever their player of choice is, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, you know, anything else, they have a reason to actually go back and learn more and get more value, kind of more takeaways from the episode itself. So that's kind of from, you know, optimization from the host standpoint. Obviously, some people can't really currently have a website. So they have, you know, their audio host. Sometimes the audio host kind of creates individual episode pages that are more robust. Like I know Captivate.fm does kind of like a website structure. So, I mean, that is a start. But then also from a guest standpoint, really going on understanding the audience. If it's a business-based show, what can I do to add as much value as possible and being authentic and organic about it? And when I took that approach, I started to get more inquiries both from listeners as well as kind of collaboration opportunities from those hosts, because, you know, they saw that that episode was, you know, surprisingly listened to more so than, like, I guess if you want to talk about like people in the limelight. I'm not saying I'm this like guru whoever in my space, but I'm not necessarily like a Tony Robbins or a Grant Cardone or whoever, but I've appeared on shows that have featured guests like that and still got value out of those experiences and added value to audiences. So really creating relationships, because obviously everything, regardless of what industry you're in, it's about relationship building at the end of the day. So doing that. And then when I do appear, if it's possible, I go when the episode is live. If they didn't link to my website or my podcast or anywhere else I want to, you know, send people to, I kind of kindly ask, hey, can you link to so-and-so? And even if that podcast may not have a dedicated website, there's still value in terms of them linking on their audio host, which then in turns gets theoretically syndicated via RSS feed to all the players that show is on as well.
Right. And I love that, because it's creating so many different links back to you. And I've only recently started to understand the value of this because we really didn't focus on using the SEO to grow our business. But then I had somebody mention to me on our show, they're like, well, you know, if you put even just 100 of your interviews up, I mean, that's 100 new people that these blog posts could be getting, even if they're getting 10 new clicks per week, and you have a pop-up that pushes people your way, you should be getting a new person per week with your, from your content. And I just thought that was so interesting, because we put all this time into these other paid strategies to generate leads and to, you know, to close sales, when we could be doing these organic strategies. The content's already there. So I want to ask you this, Roman, because of where you're at with, you know, the clients that you've worked with and everything, and people who've got a podcast already, what would be kind of the core pieces they should be doing to help increase that SEO so that they can take this as a win?
Yeah. So like I said, obviously if you can actually add links to, you know, where you're linking out to from a host perspective, if you're creating content, if you have a dedicated site, the number one recommendation, if you don't have a dedicated site, think about getting one, because then you can create unique content around those episodes. And like you said, technically you want to think about it like it's real estate. Do you have, let's say, an apartment complex, you know, 10 units or 1,000 units? It doesn't necessarily correlate one-on-one like that, because you can have 1,000 bad thin pages of content that add no value. So that content has to add some kind of value and connect with the potential user or whoever you think your target audience is to reach. Because if they do land there and there's no value, then the bounce rate on your site goes higher, and technically is a negative correlation. So if the bounce rate gets higher over time, that means you're not necessarily creating the right you know, opportunity or a right experience for a user. And even let's say if you're on the first page, eventually you may get pushed down because a search engine like Google wants to present the best opportunity for the websites that are first page, second page, so on and so forth. And if you're not doing that, theoretically, they may replace you, or you may kind of start falling in that sense as well. And then, like I said, I invested to add value on other shows. So adding value that way and thinking about it, let's say you're getting a backlink. Like if I get a backlink from this show or a link to wherever I prefer, it's not only a SEO value, regardless if it's a follow or no follow link. So follow is kind of the direct passage of kind of SEO juice or SEO value, and no follow. So if like, you know, I have an article on ink.com, it's probably going to be no follow because they don't want to pass that kind of massive authority on and kind of trickle that down, but they do still have value in terms of like your backlink profile. But then you also have a referral traffic value over time. So if somebody listens to the show, the episode, as long as that podcast stays up, it's basically evergreen. Somebody may discover it 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and then they have the opportunity to click on that link and come to my website or wherever I'm sending it to. So not only SEO value, but referral traffic value as well.
And I have to throw something in here too, because of if you're guesting on somebody's podcast, we get this a lot as hosts, that they'll give you kind of a link that's, it's basically going to expire, right? So we're doing this little challenge or something. But if you're going to be giving a link on a podcast, make sure it's something that can be evergreen, that you'll always have up, because 4 years down the road, this podcast could have 1 million downloads. And if they're all going to nowhere, you know, they're going to be pretty upset. You're going to be pretty upset you missed out on that traffic. So let me ask you this, Roman, with the content strategy in general for you, because you've talked a lot about like adding value and you know, leveraging that content, the backlinks and everything, but what does your content strategy look like? And for the clients that you work with, because I think a lot of times it's just kind of spray and pray, right? Like, oh, I'm just going to try and get 100 different shows. But you know, what's that strategy look like for you guys?
Well, that's anything from podcast interviews, from traditional media, from different thought leadership opportunities on industry specific kind of thought leadership sites, different other assets. So it's really understanding who the target audience is, who are they hoping to reach, who are they looking to in terms of attracting leads or potential clients, or who have they primarily sold to in terms of kind of their products. So it's really understanding what their goals are and who that target audience is. It may not be kind of one persona, it may be several or a specific audience segment, but really drilling that and who they're looking to reach. So, you know, men 25 to 44 that are, you know, avid hunters that may live in, you know, the southern part of the US. So if it drills down to that super specifically, then you know what type of things may intersect or overlap. But if it's a little broader, obviously you have a little bit more opportunities. But it really starts off with defining your audience and then really kind of, you know, dwindling down or kind of working your way down to a specific kind of targeted list. Now, if you're doing things like outreach to get on shows, obviously not every show may say yes. I mean, I get plenty of inquiries every week about, you know, can you think about having this guest on? And a lot of the time, the only thing that's different from that kind of email, a pitch email, is copy and pasting my name and the name of my show. So that's pretty evident. So having a unique pitch, having kind of a media kit, media deck, one pager for that guest, and tailoring that message to each show instead of having something super general. And then really kind of tracking that as well. So identifying when that episode is going live or that media publication is going live or interview and whatever else asset is going live. So then you can attribute back to any kind of spikes in terms of value to the site. So, you know, 5 shows went live. You had a link back to let's say the homepage, which majority of the time that's where your backlinks are pointing to, or if you have a specific link back to a specific part of your site, what did that really do when things are obviously tracked on the back end in terms of certain page performance, in terms of like the keyword set, topical set you're tracking, and see the fluctuations and really being able to tie back and attribute to obviously see some level of success or what that actually did. Did that, it launched, you know, today. Over the next month, what did it do? You can see obviously the traffic from that site, or obviously the players themselves to wherever you're linking to. So what traffic did it deliver? What additional, you know, backlinks from different referring domains did it add to the site? And then really, like, what was the uptick? And then obviously measuring that, documenting that, can that be replicated for other clients, other industries, and kind of doing things that kind of move the needle the most with the less amount of kind of, you know, work per se.
Right. Yeah. And that's such, I think that's kind of like the goal for everybody, right? Is say what's going to take the most advantage of my time. And Roman, I know you're not big into promoting on podcasts, but I want to just ask you a little bit about what you guys do, because it is pretty unique. So walk us through A, how do people connect with you, and B, what do you do for them?
Yeah. So the agency that I founded in 2012 is called Novazor Digital. Technically, the podcast I have around that in a way is called the Digital Savage Experience Podcast. And, you know, as we talked offline, I'm the co-host of Real Talk Podcasting, which is a podcast to help podcasters, with my two co-hosts that I have kind of the digital background. Another co-host is a sound engineer and owns a sound studio, and another one in terms of being part of a network and more of like the tech and equipment guy and the streaming guy as well. And we kind of compile that and are kind of trying to help as many people as possible that originated from Clubhouse. But Novazor Digital founded, the core foundation was search engine optimization, but then you also have local search, paid social, organic social, paid search, media buys, and everything in between to really have a a la carte offering that, you know, I've worked on the director level and managed a lot of teams, worked with Fortune 500 at other agencies, and other agencies, just the setup itself is very cookie cutter. So it's kind of like everyone gets the same thing, but just at scale, nothing is really personalized to what the needs are of a specific client. So really working with a client, being an extension of a client's kind of brand. And when the client succeeds, we succeed.
I love that. Well, and so everybody, you can check that out. So it's novazoradigital.com. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Make sure I got that right. So make sure everybody, you go check that out. It's a really unique offering. I think these guys are honestly some of the best out there. So make sure you go check that out. And Roman, just to wrap up this interview, I have one final question for you. So if you could give one final parting piece of guidance to our audience, what would that be?
Well, whatever you're doing, if you want to start a podcast, you have a podcast, you want to go on interviews, I would start now, or kind of doing your research now and having a plan. If I could go back, one, I would start sooner, and two, I would have a formulated plan. So regardless if you're starting as a hobby, you should still treat it somewhat of a business. So have kind of like what your short and long-term goals are. You know, if you don't have anything, where are you going to host? Where are you recording? What's the format of your show? Mapping out kind of a content plan for the episodes. So really having a strategy that you can kind of adhere to and keep you on track, because I feel like pod fade is real. A lot of people think it's like, you know, glitz and glamour, and then they drop off after a few episodes when they actually see how much time is involved in terms of promoting, editing, recording. So I think having a solid plan to begin with, I think is key to kind of be interested in it and keep you on track for the long term.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Lucky Titan Podcast. If you want to fill your favorite platform with dream customers, then come join myself and thousands of others of hosts at theluckytitan.com/tribe. Here you can find guests for your show, get featured on other shows, and discover the secrets to building an audience of raving fans. So once again, go create your free account at theluckytitan.com/tribe.